Good morning and welcome in to another edition of The Blitz. I'm Charlie Collier. Behind the board is Josh Stackhouse, intern Stackhouse. Here on this Wednesday morning, as well, we have the NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, and the Tennessee Vols coming to the end of the season, all rolling around here in the middle of the week. It's a pretty beautiful day here in Knoxville. We've had some, some beautiful
couple of days, honestly, yeah.
When was it not nice?
I guess Friday night. Yeah, Friday was that Friday. Rain spurt that came out.
Yeah, and even then, like, Friday wasn't bad. Nah. It was just, like, a couple little pop-up
all day, it was good until about 4 o'clock, probably. That's when the rain hit out there on the golf course when I was out there, so.
Yeah, no, I'm so pleased with the weather right now.
Yeah, it's not even too hot, man. Like, the
We're about to get hot, too.
That sucks.
I'm cool with hot. I don't
really?
Care.
But I can't.
As long as I can sleep cold, I'm cool with hot.
It gets above 80. 85 or whatever, I'm just kind of like, man.
We're getting up there, 87 today, sunny all day, and then 88 tomorrow, but with some thunderstorms maybe mixed in. But then Friday and Saturday both are a low of 70, sunny all day, and a high of 94 and 92.
Ooh.
Let's go.
That will be a suntan city in Knoxville, Tennessee.
We are there. We have reached summer.
We've cracked through the 29 seasons of the early year.
Yeah, we've just reached. Hey, it's gonna be really hot for the next 4 months.
Yeah, it's
gonna 5 months.
By July, everyone's crying for the fall, wanting Halloween.
Not me.
Really? I'm a fall, early spring guy. I love a good hoodie and t-shirt. Short weather.
You can still just wear whatever you. That's why I also just wear whatever I want to wear, regardless of the weather at all times.
I sweat too much, bro, down here.
I sweat too. I just don't care.
I sweat like a dog, man. Like, the humidity murders me. Because when I went up there, I guess, I went out west for just vacation, drove out that way, man. It was just like the lack of humidity. I could just do anything I wanted. Just sit outside, eat hot food.
That's how you get dehydrated, though, because you're not sweating. It's not sticky. It's not humid. You don't realize it until it's too late. You're just dropping.
That is true, actually.
When you're out there in Vegas, or like
just anywhere,
Arizona, LA, like all that dry heat.
I love that though. That humidity just makes me feel sticky. I hate feeling sticky. I'm not a sweat dude. Like, I don't like touching other people's sweat. If I have to, I will. Like, if we're playing basketball or something, or just like, you know. But I
like getting sweaty.
Really?
Oh yeah.
No.
I like going out and doing something and working hard, getting real sweaty.
Really? Dude, it used to not bother me at all, and I don't know what happened, but, like, man, if I can avoid being a sticky mess for, like, a good part of my day, I'm pretty solid on that.
Yeah, I remember, like, playing, like, basketball in the gym in the summer, where you just get to the point where you just slide. Like, you just got so much sweat coming off of you, you hit the ground, and you just... There was this one dude that played football with us, though, that was the sweatiest person I've ever... come across in my entire life.
Was it like a stinky sweat too?
It was just a sweat, really. And like, shout out to him. He's working for like Troy and their football team now. But man, there was a day during football workouts that we got to play basketball at the end.
Like, oh, that's
during
cool.
Summer workouts, like some sort of like form of basketball that he made that was like more physical or whatever. But it was like shirts versus skins, and he was.
Oh.
They had the genius idea to put him on skins.
That's the sweatiest people are always the skins.
Dude, I'm telling you, no one could hold on to the ball. He touched the ball once, brought it into his body, and then the next 20 minutes, it was nothing but just. It was like watching a group of people dive after a fumble in the mud.
Oh.
Just the rest of the time that we were playing basketball.
I had a friend like that, dude. But his was like a stinky sweat.
Oh, that's the worst.
So, like, he'd post you up, and you'd just be just like, you know what? I don't even care. So, he gets buckets. He gets buckets because nobody's wanting to press that, right? He's posting you up. You're not.
Oh, I will get sweaty, and I will back you down. I will back you down.
To put your sweaty back on my chest.
I will make you deal with it.
That's my least favorite thing in the world. Ugh, yeah, no. Not a sweat person. like going out to the pool, sitting under the sun and stuff. But I'm like float around in the pool guy. Give me a nice pool noodle, I'll sit there all day. I don't think I've ever tried to catch a tan.
Ever?
I don't, man. I hate it. I get made fun of constantly.
Can you not tan if you tried?
I mean, no, not really. I mean, the best I do is like turn red and it doesn't really set in. It never really sets. I can get maybe like 2 decimals on the tan scale, if that's a real thing. Like I barely go. Like my mom's blowing up my phone right now, making fun of me. This is just embarrassing.
Oh man. Well, what else you got going on? Anything fun? Anything good?
I did get that catfish sandwich yesterday.
You ate a catfish sandwich?
That's banging, boy. It really made my day. I cleaned my kitchen. I got all the dishes out the way. Prepared it. Fried it up. And that... It made my whole day, dude.
What'd you have with it?
Just the sandwich. Oh, collard greens.
Okay.
Collard greens from a little place off the east side.
Perfect.
Yeah. Banging, boy. I love it.
It's a hell of a day.
Yeah, it was, actually. Played a little Fortnite, got a couple dubs. And then basically sat around, watched the hockey games. Those were good until, you know, they weren't. And then basketball just kind of was disappointing and on my end. For your end, I'm sure it wasn't. But what about you?
Pretty good night. I mean, well, very good night. Went over to the Tennessee-Belmont game, obviously. Where Tennessee just barreled everything all night. Someone caught a barrel with batter. A check swing last night.
Ortega, just a little ploop.
Yeah, I mean, literally just a check swing and you're still just catching barrels. It's unbelievable. I mean, this team is so good. But the entire game, I was really just down at the Belmont bullpen. I mean, I could barely.
Oh, you did get to stand around there?
Yeah, I just stood right on the literally hang on out the with fence.
Them. You had the jersey on, didn't you? Did anybody say anything to you?
No. I mean, yeah. There was like a little barricade, and I just moved it. And then I stood there. Actually, someone came in the 7th inning, and they're like, "Excuse me, you're not supposed to be here." And I was like, "Where were you the first 7 innings?" Like, I've been here for 7 innings.
That's just came around the bleacher.
That's what one of the pitchers laughed at. He's like, he's been here for 7 innings.
He's been sitting here, just talking, having a good time.
We're just hanging out. Like, yeah. I was just talking with the Belmont pitchers. It was a nice time.
That was a beautiful game to watch. I watched it about the 7th inning. I watched it about 9.
It was kind of interesting to, like, be there to see the guys warm up that were about to go in the game. Because, you know, they were about to get smashed.
Yeah.
They were seeing what had happened to their teammates.
Oh, I didn't even think about that, yeah.
So then, like, they would be warming up as they're watching what's happening to their teammates, and then, they get called out there.
And the same thing happens to them.
And, unfortunately, not to, like, make fun of them, because, like, they weren't taking it too hard either, but...
It is, I mean...
Then they come back and just come hang out in the bullpen after they pitch, too.
And oh, really?
So it was just like, yeah, so it was like before... After,
is it like just going through war and just the faces of pain?
Each guy would come back and just be like, "Oh my gosh, they're really good. They are really good."
Wow, you're right though. Every person, even the ones that you just have really never seen play, unless you just watch every game, kind of every blowout, everyone barreled the ball, like you said.
I mean, you know, it was a good night when Charlie Taylor gets a hit.
Last night was. Just insanity. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel like these guys are raring to go for the postseason.
I mean, last night, because don't get it twisted either. Like, that is that's a good Belmont team.
That's what I was saying.
A team that is in first place in what's a pretty decent Ohio Valley Conference that has every chance to make the tournament. They're gonna have to win the OVC, but. It'll either be them or Southeastern Missouri, and I assume, and whoever comes out of that between the two of them, I mean, they are a pretty decent little challenge for somebody.
Yeah, man.
So that makes last night even more impressive. Like, that is the by far the best midweek team you've played this year.
Oh, yeah. There's just besides, I don't even know who you'd even try to compare them to, really. Maybe like,
in terms of like the non-SEC teams, like the mid-majors, the mid-majors you've played, yeah. I would say that. I would say that Georgia Southern is a better team, obviously, than Belmont. But outside of that, I mean, again, Belmont, the most talented midweek team you've played all year, and probably the second most talented mid-major. So, I mean, that made it even more impressive. But, man, you really just dismantled them.
Yeah, it wasn't like we just got up by the fourth impressive. And stopped. They just went for, like, 7 innings.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting, just being down there by the bullpen. But yeah, my buddy didn't even end up getting to pitch, or like having to pitch, I guess.
Oh, that's good for you at least.
Because
you didn't see him.
You know, the game wasn't going as according to plan.
I didn't want
to
see.
So that was a pretty good night, though. I mean, it was just a beautiful night to be down at the ballpark. You know, getting to talk to him is always fun, and. Then, you know, went home, had a nice little dinner, got some pizza, and watched the Heat. I got back from the Belmont game when the Heat were down 10, nearing the end of the second half.
The second quarter?
Yeah, second quarter. Goodness.
I was like, man, you missed the whole game.
Yeah, when the Heat were down 10, nearing the end of the second quarter. So I showed up at the perfect time.
Yeah, really?
I showed up for 22.
Man, you might be the Heat's good luck charm, dude.
Probably. That's what the people are saying.
You got a call from Spoelstra. Get down here.
Fly me to Miami. Yeah, please.
That'd be sick. That would be sick.
Anyway, great night for the Vols, for my Heat. And shout out to Charlie Taylor for getting his second hit of the year last night. And we'll get into more on the other side. Stay with us right here on the Blitz. Back here on the Blitz. Again, we mentioned last night it was Tennessee just homering. Their way to a victory over and over and over and over again, as again they power their way to a pretty big victory over Belmont. Now you get ready for Thursday, where you turn around and play a Mississippi State team that is reeling, that has not won in a while, at least in the SEC. And a Mississippi State team too that, you know, really probably needs to win, if not sweep this series, to really feel decent about their chances to get to Omaha. I mean, they're 26-27 overall, 9-8, or not Omaha, the FCC, Hoover. I'm dumb. I'm sorry.
It happens.
I mean, they probably need a sweep to guarantee that they're going to get to Hoover or feel like they can get to Hoover.
I mean, aren't they behind Missouri still, too?
Get you there. What?
Are they still behind Missouri?
They're one ahead of Missouri.
One ahead? Oh, wow. God, Missouri.
But they've lost 3 in a row to A&M. They lost 3 in a row to Florida. They lost 2 in a row to Missouri. So, I mean, you combine that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9.
God.
9 straight losses. They suffered 8 of those in the SEC. They also dropped in midweek at Samford. They finally got back to winning last night, beating a Northern Alabama team that's very, very, very bad.
Well, we'd be having some real conversations. That'd be bad, bad.
Yeah, they're a poor Northern Alabama. You know, no disrespect to them, but
yeah, but I mean, God.
they are a genuinely terrible baseball team. they're still rather new to Division I. Like, they're 12-38. I watched or I saw that, you know, that same Belmont team that Tennessee beat last night, beat that North Alabama team 18-2 in a game that the coaches agreed to just call early because it got out of hand last week. So,
well, there you go. That tells you all you need to know.
So Mississippi State, like, you know, you got off the schneid, but it's not good.
Yeah, man, dude, this there's a lot of L's on this.
You can get $15 tickets for this weekend series, and
that's almost sad.
Maybe some fair weather fans down there in Starkville.
Good man, only $15. That's kind of sad.
Which I was thinking about this last night, and don't take this the wrong way if you're listening, or don't think I'm trying to be that guy or anything, but Tennessee's, it was something I was talking with my buddy about, actually, because his first year at Belmont was Tony Vitello's first year at Tennessee. And I was like, what's it been like for you just coming here to play every year and seeing, like, the growth of this team? And he was like, well, I mean, well, you know, you go from playing in front of 13 people and all of a sudden it's 5,000 people on a Wednesday night. Like, you know, that bleacher wasn't there. That bleacher wasn't there. I mean, it's been pretty crazy. He's like, but obviously people are going to watch the number one team in the country. I was like, you know, that's a pretty good point. If Tennessee is baseball, obviously it's a hot ticket. Every game is packed and we're getting ready to expand Lindsey Nelson, but do we think that if this team, you know, either A, has like a down year like an Ole Miss or a Mississippi State, or, you know, B, if you just keep being really good every year for many years, is it still as new and fun, or is it just, okay, we have a really good baseball team, well, I can watch them in this game, or I'll go watch them in the postseason. You know, is that fan support, you think, ready to stay? No matter what, because you're committing to it, you know, you want to start being a revenue sport for many years. If you're committing to upgrading Lindsey Nelson and doing everything that you're planning on doing, like, that needs to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it needs to become a consistent revenue producing sport. And
that's a,
you know, right now, I would like to say yes. I would like to say that Tennessee is one of the most special fan bases, one of the best fan bases in the country. Everyone loves this baseball team. You know, the Vol Shop, sometimes it feels like they sell more baseball gear than anything else. I love this baseball team. I'm so glad that
the energy
around it has become what it's become. But, you know, I'm not saying, like, you better have sold out crowds if you have a down year or something like that. But, you know, do you think that if Tennessee, you know, next year, say you're like just a 18-25 team, or, you know, say in a couple years, like, you have a year like Ole Miss is having where, you know, they're
not
probably on the right side of the bubble now in terms of getting into the NCAA tournament, but at one point they were sitting in the bottom of the SEC and, you know, they've been up and down. Do you think the support will waver at all?
You know, if we stay consistently good, and like you said, in that top 25 range, I think Knoxville in general, and if not most of the state, is a pretty big baseball loving place. I think there's a lot of baseball fans out there. I mean, the support for Atlanta, the Braves alone, is pretty wild in that fact. And I mean, you can even reach to the Nationals. You can even reach to the Cardinals. You know, you got fans that have been searching for a baseball team to love and go and root for. And when you give them your hometown college, and if we stay consistent. Now, I'm with you on if we have a bad year or a bad couple years. I don't think
you'll have a bad couple years. As long as Tony Vitello is your coach,
but
I don't think that you're going to string together a couple bad years. But you see, pretty much every top college baseball team can have years where they're not as good as they are on a yearly basis usually.
Well, I mean, I was just thinking of, like, in terms of the football support, it took two just not great coaches to really push everybody off the hope train. I mean, we just with Pruitt, we just are lost our hope for being great, kind of thing, you know. So I don't think we lose that, but depending on how big they make the stadium, I think on a down season, you would see a lot of people frustrated. But it is baseball, and I think our fans are at least smart enough to understand that it'd be a down year. Because like you said, I mean, I couldn't see us having two bad years in a row with Vitello, with the way he can recruit people in, the way we have recruited people in. And so I'd have to say that I'm pretty confident that we could keep this fandom going, but I don't know if this to this extent. I think we'd have to be a top five team every year, like or have that presence of Vandy when they were on the runs that they were on to show up and show out. But our fans are much, much, much better than Vanderbilt fans. No offense. But, I mean, we care a lot more about our sports at UT than they do at Vanderbilt. And I was going to say maybe if we had an off year, you could see a lot of people pull back, draw back, because there wasn't a lot of interest really in the college baseball in general until this year up here. And I think this has kind of sparked a new fun thing to do during this off season. And that's another thing, is there's no baseball, there's no football right now. You'll be able to have these stretches where it's just we have this really good team to root for. And I think he's built something that is sustainable up here now in the baseball
team.
Yeah,
no, I mean, I was just kind of – I'm not necessarily saying that I think that the fan support would waver.
No.
It was something that I was thinking about, wanted to –
Oh, no, it's a great question because, I mean, it makes
wanted to bring
think.
Up – you know, I mean, obviously, like you said, A, if you're – you know, I think there's a couple scenarios. If you do have a down year – yeah, you know, maybe it's 75% full, or maybe, you know, the midweek games lose a little buzz, obviously. Like, that's going to happen, and that's something that you can live with. But I also, if Tennessee baseball stays good for a while, where every year you're just really good, I think at that point, midweek games and stuff like that will also kind of lose their buzz a little bit, you know, unless it's just
it's
there's
just
something
a midweek game.
Extra with the game, which, you know, it just... That's just kind of it is what it is kind of thing, or like, or, you know, just maybe smaller series because you get used to being good a little bit.
My only thing was, I guess, if you did, which like I said, me and you don't believe it would ever happen, but if we do have a multiple down year, I am scared that this would be a sport that a lot of these new fans that we picked up they're more likely to jump ship quicker.
The worst thing could happen would be, well, for baseball specifically, not just the worst thing that could happen, but for, you know, the worst thing could happen for this fan support of this baseball team would be if, like, maybe the football team got back to being really good around the same time as, like, baseball had a down year or two.
Oh.
You know, if those timed up like that. But because I do think people gravitating toward this baseball team, yeah, most of it has to do with everyone just, you know, clamoring for a good team to root for, and the likability of Tony Vitello and the likability of his players, the way they play baseball, how fun it is, how good they are. Like, that is 95% of why Tennessee's gotten the fan support it has, and that's why I think it'll stay, because Tony Vitello will still be there, the teams will still have that same confidence and swagger that gets passed down, and the games will just still be a fun thing to go to as the team will be good. So that's why I think it will stay. But I also think, you know, maybe like 5% of why things blew up as quickly as it did in terms of fan support could be the fact that the football team is in the midst of, you know, one of its worst decades.
So I'd almost even say the opposite. I think if our football program got back to where it was, and if not better, that, I mean, I think our just the fan base in general would just go dumb.
Yeah, I just think that.
I think for all the sports, I just think it would spread throughout, like the energy, the buzz.
I was just kind of saying, like, I think maybe people were, you know, so fed up with football that
they dive into anything successful.
Yeah, they just dove into anything successful.
Yeah.
Whereas if football was really good, there'd be people that just
didn't care that we were successful.
You know,
because
you
sport.
Captured.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a ton of baseball fans in Knoxville.
Yeah.
But you also captured like a slither of people that
just love UT,
that like UT, but like didn't really care about baseball.
That's a pretty good point too.
But I don't know. Love to hear y'all's thoughts if you're listening.
Yeah, what would
I don't
take
know.
You?
Did I make anyone mad out there? Anyone agree, disagree? Love to hear y'all's thoughts. The G3 Help Me Hotlines are open. 865-546-8200. That's your number to call in. Stackhouse will be taking your calls. But we're going to go ahead and catch a break here on the other side. We'll transition into something else. Stay with us right here on the Blitz. Again, you'd like to weigh in. Phone lines are open. 865-546-8200. But with that being said, there are some other pretty big sporting events that happened last night, too. As we look at the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 1, it's the Heat really just putting together one of the best third quarters I've seen in quite a while. And Jimmy Butler continuing to stay dominant. Coming back and pulling off a win against the Celtics to take a 1-0 lead in that series. You know, before we really break down what happened in that game, what transpired last night change your opinion on the series, given the fact that you took Celtics in, what, did you take them in six or seven?
Seven.
Seven?
I don't think so. I think without having Marcus Smart and Al Horford, it makes me kind of hesitant to jump ship. Along with, I think, a performance that Grant Williams lacked. I feel like he just wasn't getting calls he thought he wanted to get, and it just put him out of his game early. But other than that, no. I mean, I honestly believe the Celtics dominated three out of the four quarters. I think the third quarter was one of the ugliest quarters I've seen this playoffs besides that game seven collapse by the Suns. I thought there were some passes. I mean, there were two possessions in a row where Jason Tatum just made the two dumbest passes to Jaylen Brown, and Jimmy Butler was just standing there just, I mean, hawking the ball. His eyes were locked in. He just saw the pass coming from three plays away. And I don't know. I wouldn't go too soon. I think Boston probably ties this up. I think you might go 1-1, 1-1 type series. It's just what it's looking like to me.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, you know, if you think the Celtics are going to win the series in seven, then losing game one where you won three out of the first, or, you know, three out of the four quarters shouldn't really change that.
But, God, Jimmy Butler is a man, dude.
Jimmy Butler is chasing a ring. I mean, he is literally doing everything he can this playoffs. And, dude, you know, I think there was some conversation. I know we had the conversation yesterday going into this playoff series of, you know, Jimmy versus Jatum. Jason. Jason Tatum.
Oh, Jatum, baby. That's
Jatum.
That's a good like nickname that. For
yeah,
you.
That's his new nickname. you know, Jimmy versus Jason Tatum and the talk that, hey, you know, sure. Yeah, fine. Jimmy Butler has been, you know, statistically the best player in this playoffs probably, but we all know Jason's better. We all know Luka's better. Like, we
just
all know
younger.
Steph is better. Maybe, you know, maybe not Steph, but like, we all know, you know, those two guys are better. And yeah, sure, I can get behind that. Obviously, if you're telling me right now you can have Jason Tatum for the next 2 years, or you know, Jimmy Butler for the next 2 years, or Luka, like.
Probably, yeah.
I immediately dropped Jimmy, and I'm talking Luka versus Jason. I agree with that, but Jimmy, through two series, was the best player in the playoffs, and Jimmy, in night one of the conference finals,
was the best
outplayed
player.
The guy that people think, you know, have been talking about is better than him. And not only that, but defensively, they dominated that guy in the second half.
They did a great – they made him look just
Jason
unsure
Tatum
of himself.
In the second half made one shot and turned the ball over six times, including back-to-back, you know, in the third quarter to help the Heat cap off a 22-2 run.
Yeah, that was – that third quarter was just bad, bad basketball. And then on the flip side – some very, very beautiful basketball to come out of the half after the pretty lackadaisical first half from the Heat.
I mean, Jason Tatum at halftime, 21 points, 5 assists, 9 of 14. But, yeah, again.
Free throws and that one shot he made, the 1-3.
That was, yeah, that was it the rest of the way, though, for the most part. You know, it was only 8 points the rest of the way.
Yeah, that, man, Jimmy Butler,
and
dude.
And again, the turnovers. And the Heat were getting dominated in the paint. I mean, the Heat were struggling in the paint at halftime.
Yeah, the Celtics, I believe, had the most points since like 95 in the first
the,
half.
The Boston paint. Celtics last night scored 48 points in the paint.
Yeah.
Which is not a number that you want to see if you're Miami, sure. I guess, for the most part. You know, that's
no.
probably not a recipe for success.
Yeah, you do
but
not want that.
42 of those 48 points were in the first half. In the second half, the Heat just basically built a fence around the paint. And they did not let the Celtics get anything inside. They were tougher. The weak side defense was unbelievable.
I think,
you know,
bam.
Robert Williams stopped getting those lobs. They stopped, you know, getting that back line of the defense to press up and dropping it in behind them. The back side of defense was really good. There's no more, you know, dribble penetration. They weren't able to get that either. And really, the Celtics didn't know where to go from there. You know, they got back into it in the fourth quarter, but that third quarter, I mean, again, with 5 minutes left, it was 22-2.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. That is awesome if you're a Heat fan. But, And again, Jimmy Butler was the guy last night. 41 points, 9 rebounds, you know, 5 assists, 12 of 19. But I thought you had some pretty good performances elsewhere, too. Gabe Vincent was great last night, giving you 17, 5 of 10. He hit some big shots. And, you know, we talked about Tyler Hero yesterday and how he needed to assert himself into the series a little bit more.
He kept him within 10 in that first half.
Yeah, I mean, and he was important in this game in 27 minutes, giving you 18 points and 8 rebounds. That's a pretty good night for him, and that's like right around where I'd want to see him at. Maybe a little bit more if you really need it, but
not if Jimmy's putting
guy,
up 41. 18 is just fine.
The one guy though that, man, I am conflicted about. Is Bam Adebayo. He obviously was awesome defensively at times last night. He had that one block where he just pinned it, wedged it.
The Jaylen Brown drive, and he just...
Yeah, I mean, he plays some unbelievable defense, but, you know, 10 points on 3 of 4 shooting, 4 rebounds. Like, there was a point where it looked like he was going to be a star. Or at least, you know, close to a star. You know, maybe like one tier under what Jimmy Butler is in the NBA. And, you know, he was in the Eastern Conference Finals dropping 37 points and still playing that same level of defense 2 years ago in the bubble.
Yeah.
You know, now it's almost like he lost his confidence in that mid-range shot, that little baby jumper. And now he's just settling for just taking what's there every once in a while and playing good defense, you know, just playing his really elite defense, which is fine.
I've seen that in the Hawks series a lot.
Like
man.
That's
okay.
He
won't
okay.
pull up for that jumper anymore, you're right. Because, I mean, even Capella was giving him 2-3 feet to just pull up and make that mid-range jumper, and he wouldn't even try it.
Right, like, again, his defense is awesome. So, like, you can't really complain about him because – you know, that's part of what the Heat are. They don't necessarily need everyone to be a star, I guess. But, yes, I love the defense. I just really wish he could be more assertive. If he could be more assertive offensively, you know, he showed at one point he has it in his bag. It's like sometimes he doesn't realize just how talented he is on both sides of the floor.
I feel like sometimes it's just not in the game plan, though. Because, I mean,
his
whole job yesterday was to lock up Jaylen Brown.
Right.
He was a perimeter defender. Al Horford wasn't in there, so he didn't have to drop low. Grant Williams was easily picked up by Deadman or I believe it was, yeah, honestly, Deadman just really just kind of was there to keep him there. But, I mean, Bam on the perimeter, I think against Jaylen Brown and Tatum and being able to switch like that, I think that's just his game plan in these playoffs because it's not even looking – because he's not even looking for the shot, you know? And so – yeah, I'm with you. I would love to see him put up 18.
I want to see him be more aggressive at times. I'd like to see him realize that he's probably the best center left in this.
I'm with you. I don't see why it's not why he's not scoring. I mean,
he's better than Kevon Looney. You know, he's better than what Dorian Finney-Smith. Who's even playing center for the Nets? Dorian Finney-Smith, Reggie Bullock, one of those two. I mean, he's better than those guys. He's better than Al Horford. He's better than Grant Williams.
Even when Robert Williams isn't in, and
Robert
Bam
Williams,
is.
He's better than, I mean, he's, you know, any
big
man.
He should be
man.
Able to still post somebody up at least, or at least drive past somebody.
Right. So I would like, I mean, that would be something, that's on my wish list, is Bam to be more assertive offensively. Because
if they can get him at 18 points a game, really, dude.
Because four shots, like, yeah. That's not enough.
But, I mean, that's.
I need more shots out of Bam, which. Again, you won last night, and he played great defense, so it feels like a
good recipe.
A tough timing-wise, kind of day to harp on that. But I mean, his lack of aggressiveness again—it didn't hurt you. Didn't hurt you last night, but
again,
it could really
it
help
would've.
Going forward, open things up for your shooters. He makes plays in the middle of the court. He's a good passer. You can get him the ball at that high post. He can pass out of it really well. He can take you off the dribble. He has some athleticism. He needs to get more involved, going towards the hoop, though. He needs to get more involved around the rim because the Heat have some really good shooters.
Well, if Boston brings back Marcus and
– and they're a much better three-point shooting team than what they've showed in the playoffs, even with, Kyle Lowry hurt, even with Duncan Robinson not really cracking the rotation because of his lack of defense, but – those guys, I mean, Max Strus was a guy that shot an unbelievable percentage from three. Gabe Vincent can knock down threes. P.J. Tucker can knock down threes. Tyler Hero can shoot some threes. Like, there are a lot of three-point shooters on this team, and they haven't shot the ball as well in the playoffs. And part of it's been because the looks haven't been as good for the Heat. So if you can get Adebayo making plays and seeking out his shot a little bit more, in the middle of the floor and towards the rim, that opens it up. That allows those, Miami to space things out more and get some of those shooters better looks. Because if you didn't force turnovers last night, if you were relying on half-court offense to win that game, I don't think you would have won that game.
I don't think they would have won the game without the turnovers.
Yeah.
At all. And I think,
if you were trying to beat Boston in the half court last night, it wasn't going to work, and it will. You weren't going to win that game, and you can if Bam is more assertive offensively, and it doesn't look like Al Horford will be back for game two.
Doesn't
Marcus Smart could be, but the start of the game went obviously pretty damn well for the Celtics. Then Miami, was able to penetrate off the dribble. Horford and Smart's absence was notable.
I think Smart was just a big thing. I think not having Smart out there
allowed Miami to get to the middle of the floor.
It allowed Hero to get going. I think it allowed Gabe Vincent to get a couple shots up that you probably wouldn't see on those late shot clocks.
I'll be honest, as a Heat fan, yeah, we are pretty fortunate that those two didn't play and probably aren't playing game two. But hey, it is what it is.
I mean, that's
you
two,
win
that,
the games in front of you.
That's two veteran dudes out there
it
calling and chirping.
But I'm sure game two there will be a much greater point of emphasis for the Celtics on A, taking care of the basketball, and B, trying to keep the Heat from being able to drive
just
to the rim
go on
and drive
stupid
to the paint.
Runs.
Jimmy Butler, the best way to beat him is to make him shoot over top of you.
He made
everything.
Yeah,
he can knock down those mid-range sometimes, and sometimes he gets in a roll, but he is obviously exponentially better operating around the rim.
He's in his bag to this playoffs. I don't see him slowing down. I think he's going to get his 20-plus every night these playoffs, unless something dramatic happens and they figure out a way to stifle the entire offense of the Heat. I mean, Jimmy just looked – I mean, every turn of fade, every fadeaway mid range that he threw up. I mean, even the one Jason Tatum was in his mouth and hit just in the last second. Just, I mean, God, everything he put up was beautiful. I loved watching him play last night, because even when they weren't in good standing, I guess, in the game before the third quarter, it you could see that it wasn't going to last.
For Tennessee fans tuning in to watch Grant Williams, followed up his clutch series, you know, clinching game 7 performance with 5 fouls, 5 points in 35 minutes.
I think he was robbed on a couple of calls.
Yeah, you know, there were some close calls. I agree with that, but he was doing a lot of falling around.
He was. He was on the ground a lot last night. He got kicked in the face.
That was unfortunate.
I thought that was a charge.
I didn't think that was a charge.
Really? I thought that was about the same position that he had on Giannis when they were calling charges on Giannis in that entire series. I thought Grant played almost the exact same defense. I didn't see him playing really. I mean, there was those loose balls that he was diving for, getting smacked around on. I thought that was pretty just, hey, take a step back. You don't have to do so much, Grant. You don't have to do so much. But I think there's a couple calls there. I think it just got him out of his game. I just don't think he just felt that he was just, I guess, I don't know, supported is not the right word, but.
That one time where they try to get Jimmy for a moving screen, though.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw that live, and I was like, oh, we got away with one. And then I saw the replay. I was like, Grant just kind of, like, threw his body into Jimmy's back and then just fell back on the floor.
I thought the same thing. Because I was like, oh, how did they miss that?
You know, that's how that man got, what, like, 30 free throws against Vandy that one time, felt like. I think it actually was, like, 27. But, yeah, you know, it was kind of funny, though, too, to see Grant Williams mic'd up.
He talked so much.
Who would have thought that when Grant Williams left Tennessee, who would have thought that, A, again, he would score 27 points in a Game 7 to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but B, who would have ever thought you'd see Grant Williams mic'd up in an Eastern Conference Finals Game 1?
That's how big he's become in the past, like, two series. He's just become a household name now for Boston fans. That's so funny.
And he's kind of, you know, leaning into that pest role a little bit, too. He really is. You know, he was complaining a little bit. He was flying around, falling around last night, you know, taking some shots, trying to take some charges in that Philly series, or not, in the Milwaukee series, you know, poking his head in the other team's huddle.
Just doing a little extra, just to get on somebody's nerves. Because, I mean, when you guard somebody like KD, and then you go to Giannis, and you recognize that you are in their, you're in their head, you are stopping them at certain things, you got to keep that going. I love that he's doubled down almost on it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love Grant. You know, I hope he has 3 more bad games and the series is over. And then next year he becomes one of the best players in the entire world. I love Grant. I do. But last night he was cracking me up a little bit.
He was on the floor a lot last night. I mean, he got kicked in the head, and then he got elbowed in the head as well. He got beat up a little bit last night, man. When he was driving to the basket and he got tossed the ball, and him and Bam just went, just collided. Two big bodies. But I don't know. I think this series is going to be just a you take one, I take one, you take one, I take one, until game 7, and then you probably get another classic, dude.
He just got to protect home floor. I mean, that's your mentality right now, is just win at home. Take advantage of no Al Horford and maybe no Marcus Smart game 2.
That crowd was jumping too in Miami last night, man.
You got to take advantage of that in game 2 on Thursday. And then, you know, from there, if you can steal one on the road, great. But you need to win game 5 at home. You know, those are the big 2 games that you have circled. You can't lose home court, especially this early in the series. Because if you lose home court and you have to go to Boston knowing that you've lost home court, I mean, that's a tough hole to be in. So game 2, obviously, you know, just such a huge game for Miami. For the Celtics, you're probably frustrated with how things went last night. You know, you're frustrated that you let one get away. You're frustrated that Jason Tatum, you know, got shut down in the second half and was loose with the basketball. And that Eric Spoelstra, you know, made some great halftime adjustments. Yeah. And his team responded. Maybe you're kind of wondering, hey, if they do that again, you know, what's our counter? But in the grand scheme of things, if you're Boston, you know, nothing detrimental happened. You lost a game without two of your bigger contributors that you were supposed to lose on the road, and you did some things well. So, you know, they're probably not too upset in Boston.
No, I'd agree with that.
You know, they're probably focused on, hey, you know, hey, can we steal one on the road in these first two? You know, for Boston, I don't think there's any level of concern in this series, even if you go down 2-0, unless you lose one at home.
Yeah, I just...
So, you know, that's where we're at. Game two again Thursday, 8:30, ESPN, ESPN, and the Miami Heat, the line opening up for that one is Heat -4. So, Heat were, I think, -2.5. Yesterday, before the Al Horford news came out, it got up to 4.5. It's going to stay right around there for game two. And, you know, we'll check in on that series Thursday. But hour one done, hour two on deck. Stay with us right here on the Blitz.